high short kick that is going to come up and bounce at the 20. Rutgers has a chance to recover it, and they do! What a play by the Scarlet Knights!
Get it to Harper with three, with two, with one. Harper for the win! Got it!
10 and 10 at the 21. Wimsett hands it off. It's Manunga getting to the corner left. 20, 15, catching to 10. Manunga down near the goal line. He is in! Touchdown, Rutgers!
Now with six. Baker making his move with five. Step back three for the lead. Oh. Yeah! With 1.1 to go.
Rutgers loses 65-51 in the opening round of the Big Ten tournament, and the 2023-2024 season is officially over. Rutgers, losers of seven of its last eight games, and all in double-digit deficit, not even really able to string together a sentence here. Extremely disappointed. It was an embarrassing way to go out. Maryland hit their first, was it four three-pointers? I'm not going to be able to go through the stats as detailed as normally because Stats Broadcast, for some reason, reset the Maryland Rutgers stats to the Michigan-Penn State game right now. I have some stats to go through. It's probably better. We all don't agonize over it because it was brutal. Maryland jumped out to a 16-3 lead at the first media timeout. And, you know, they lost by 14. It wasn't that close. And it was just a really disappointing effort. The urgency wasn't there. The energy wasn't there. This team was not connected. And unfortunately, you know, this team looked every bit checked out that we feared they could be. And I think the most disappointing thing these last few weeks and the way the season ended, you know, I think last season was different. You know, the team, first of all, was very good for the majority of the season. They obviously suffered that Mawat Mag injury, and they really struggled to regain their identity and regain their footing. You know, this season obviously was not nearly as successful earlier on. But when Jeremiah Williams came back, they had the four-game winning streak. I mean, this team was 14-10, 6-7 in the Big Ten. They still had an uphill battle, but they had a fight. They had a puncher's chance, and the way it unraveled, and the manner in which they did unravel, you know, the identity of this program, what Steve Peichel has built this program on, went away, and that was the most disheartening thing to watch. Defensively, I mean, it seems still number four defensive efficiency nationally, but they have not been the same defensive team in the last 4 weeks. You know, offensively, they somehow got worse. They just did not play together. They did not play for each other. They did not play with an intensity that's needed to be successful at this level. They did not play, they did not communicate in a way that you need to at this level. And they just looked disinterested at times. You know, there were many games where they came back. And then I think above all, it's the lack of mental toughness that was disturbing, because once they got punched in the mouth, unfortunately, things started to fall apart and they just couldn't get back off the mat. You know, physicality was certainly missing. I think that was, you know, that's been part of the identity as well. And all those key components were not there. And even when, you know, Steve Peichel's first two, three seasons, there was a certain level of buy-in. There was a certain level of toughness that his teams had that this team did not have. And that's the hardest part that I think in terms of watching this team. We can bemoan the offense. We can bemoan the poor shooting. And it was bad. You know, this team was not smart offensively in how they approach things. You know, they were unable to generate good looks at times. And when they did have good looks, they couldn't make them. You know, I've discussed some of the reasons. You know, I really think a lack of point guard killed this team. Obviously, personnel-wise, you know, the way the roster was assembled in terms of the losses they suffered, in terms of the additions they made, the injuries they had, there's plenty of reasons, right? But they still should have been better despite those obstacles. And Pikul has always been preaching about needing to overcome obstacles, and this team just didn't have that. They didn't have it. And that was the hardest part to take for me. And, you know, it's a sad ending for Andre Hyatt, for Cliff Omori. You know, Cliff can return. I don't expect him to return. You know, Andre showed up today. And honestly, I want to say Andre Hyatt, he had the best season, the most consistent season of anyone on the team. You know, he struggled at times. You know, he honestly, it wasn't fair to ask him to be the number one guy, but I thought he played admirably all season. I thought that he did his best. I think he tried. He tried to be a leader too. You know, today, I mean, he had what, 13 points, 6 rebounds, 3 steals coming off the bench. I thought that, yeah. And 13 points, he was 4-9 from the floor. He always did what was asked of him, you know, over the 3 years. And, I mean, on the surface, he never complained. And I've always heard great things about him behind the scenes. He's a program guy, you know, and he is – him and Cliff now, I mean, they're the last remnants of the core that rebuilt this program. And, you know, everyone, they obviously had varying degrees of in terms of their roles. But I think Andre Hyatt deserves all the respect, for sure. The way he played this year, the way he – this was not the way he wanted to go out, of course, but – I think he honestly did about as much as he could have. He just didn't have enough help. He didn't have enough like-minded guys on the team. Cliff, I think the same. You know, he obviously was much more up and down this season. His frustrations were visible. You know, and today, I mean, 2 points, 5 rebounds. It was it's tough to see him, you know, if this is it, you know, for this to be it the way it happened. But at the same time, you have to thank him for the 4 years he's given this program. And he has developed. He might not have developed offensively the way everyone hoped he had, or he didn't, but he became an elite rim defender. He, you know, was the consummate teammate. He was, you know, great for the program. He's a great role model for people. And, you know, he's, multiple times Big Ten honor. Big Ten honors, you know, twice All Big Ten defensive team. I'm not sure where he is blocks wise in terms of program history. He's top 5. You know, he. It's just sad, you know, for both of those guys. I'm sad for them, you know, and you have to thank them for what they did. You know, Noah Fernandes and Austin Williams are two guys that, you know, were a bit of journeymen in their career. They both had some serious injuries along the way. I think it legitimately impacted both of them this season. And, you know, it's sad for them as well. Austin Williams is a Jersey guy. I loved, you know, Noah's mentality. And, you know, for what they had flashes this season. And, you know, I obviously they wish it turned out differently. But you have to respect them as well. And Oscar Palmquist was, you know, the ultimate program guy. Teammates love him. He had his moments over the last 2 years. He can come back too. I don't think he's going to come back. We'll see what happens. But, you know, remember, this is actually like his 5th year because it was his 9th semester, even though he does have a year left. But, you know, listen, all the guys that are at the end of their eligibility or four-year guys that might not come back. They're all quality individuals. And, you know, as easy as it is to get behind a keyboard and get on social media and criticize people and, you know, kind of have a lack of humanistic approach, maybe, I don't know. It's easy to just dismiss that. But all these guys, you know, gave a lot to this program and to the game of basketball. And whatever they go on to do, I wish them the best. And, you know, it's unfortunate that this season ended the way it did for them. As for the rest of the roster, you know, listen, I mean, Gavin Griffiths got a start tonight. He showed up. He scored 16 points. He, what was he, from three? He shot with confidence. He was 5 of 12 from the floor, 3 of 8 from three. He did have three rebounds. Overall, you know, he was the lone bright spot this last month. I mean, he stepped up. He's gotten better defensively. He's gotten better in terms of his approach. He's gotten better in terms of his aggressiveness, his confidence. Everything's improved. I think his, you know, shot selection has improved, but still needs to get better. I think having a point guard in Dylan Harper, I think having, you know, more athletes on the floor, more talent on the floor, there's going to be better spacing for him. He has the ability to, when he's got creators around him, he's going to profit. And, you know, I don't want to get it too much into the roster right now. I did an episode 2 days ago just talking about roster moves and, you know, the offseason approach and Steve Peichel's mindset. And I'm going to be back on Thursday. I'll have more of a detailed discussion just in terms of, you know, what's next, what needs to change, things to look for in the portal, all things like that. That'll be tomorrow. This is more of just kind of a, you know, giving, just kind of reading the last rites of this season and this team. And it's unfortunate. And there's plenty of, you know, I mean, everyone's responsible for it. You know, and obviously Steve Peichel, I don't think it was for a lack of trying. I thought the lineup tonight, you know, going big against Maryland was actually kind of, I liked it. You know, with Oscar and Gavin starting, he talked after the game. I was on his press conference on the Zoom call, and he was talking about, you know, his number one key for the game was the glass and rebounding. Rutgers was minus 12 on the glass. It didn't work. A lot of what he tried this year didn't work. But you can't look anyone in the eye and say that he just like was complacent and sat on his hands and just never tried to adjust. Just nothing really worked. And listen, he deserves criticism for lack of roster development. You know, the recruiting the last 3 years, I mean, overall what the classes have yielded, it's not enough. But he, you know, he to his credit, I mean, he seems to get that. He seems to want to adapt to the ever-changing NIL transfer portal era. He said he was on a mission to improve things dramatically. He said that in the post game. And listen, I mean, we're all frustrated. We're all upset. This is not where we want the program to be. It was a disheartening way to see this program nosedive at the end of the season with so many blowout losses and just a lack of fight, you know, from the team as a whole. And shooting was dreadful. But it wasn't just that. There was more problems than that. And now we have an offseason here, a lot to look forward to, a lot to discuss. The heat is on. There's going to be a ton of pressure. We'll see what becomes of the roster. But I expect a lot of changes. I expect things to happen pretty quickly. And, you know, it is going to be time to turn the page. But for someone, for fans that, you know, care about every game, these last few games were tough. They were tough to sit through. They were tough to watch. They were tough to take. And I do think that, you know, I'm a journey guy, and I feel like the suffering endured this past month and last year as well, these last 2 years, hopefully will be rewarded next season and will make whatever success occurs next season, that much sweeter. And I think that's how you have to look at it. Because I hope everyone appreciates whatever success is had next season. And there's no guarantee of that success by any means. And this is a very crucial period for the program, for Steve Peichel. And we're going to plan time to get into that now. And if there is a blessing, the season is over. Rutgers can rebuild right now. I mean, the process is in motion. And that is a bit of an advantage right now because there's a lot of teams still playing. And every day counts. And I think that, you know, for the season that they had, for the offseason they're going into, for the class they have coming in for next season, it could be a blessing to have this time now to figure things out, to have a plan, to get into the portal, to know what you got on the roster, what you need. It's March, and get it done. And I think Peichel is pretty focused on that. So as bad as this game was, as bad as the last month has been, I do think there is some positive momentum, which if you think about it, is pretty crazy. As bad as things have been these last few games, there is legitimate reasons to be positive, and there is legitimate momentum in this program, despite what's happened. So that's the most important thing out of all of it, and that's what I'm going to take away from it. I really appreciate everyone who's listened and watched all my game previews, all my rapid reactions this season. I'm going to have plenty of content coming up. There's going to be a ton to cover this offseason. I'm excited about it. I'll be back tomorrow with a much deeper dive into the state of the program and recruiting and all that. But thank you. I hope I made some of the suffering a little bit easier. We go through it together. We're Rutgers fans. And I truly believe that some lessons learned from these past two seasons and last off season and what resulted with this season can really benefit this program and Steve Peichel moving forward. Thanks for listening to the Scarlet Faithful Podcast once again.